Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be speaking about something which so many people will say, I may have had an experience like this. I'm not quite sure. Oh, I wish I could have an experience like this, and oh my gosh, this is something so new to me. What are we talking about? We're talking about speaking with spirit in the afterlife. We're talking about channeling. We're talking also about people who have left this world suddenly, and we say, my gosh, I feel so alone. I'm not sure what to do. I wish I could just speak to them. All of these topics we'll be talking about today. Today, just one day after Mother's Day, we're speaking with Dr. Elisa Medhus and her channel guide for Eric, who is her son, Eric, who has passed, who is our spirit guide today. The channel will be Kim Babcock. Thank you all for joining us today. It's such a pleasure to have you with us. We kind of had to rush with this, and I kind of feel like, okay, we're ready to go, but boy, we get mated, right?
Yeah, we got it, Dr. J. We got it down. We're good.
Oh, good. You know, I'll tell you, hey, guys, did anybody feel the energy today? There's got to be, it was like, I don't quite know where we were or what we were doing, but yesterday it just seemed so heavy and dense, and today it just seems like if you could sleep the entire day and just be somewhere else, maybe that was it too, right?
I can agree.
All good. Well, Dr. Elisa, it's such a pleasure to have you with us here talking today, because I think so many times, many mothers, after Mother's Day yesterday, 2017, people will say, I miss my children, I miss my father, my mother, I miss everyone that's passed. And I think that you, more than anyone, also had that feeling in the beginning, and that is the beginning of your story, yes?
That's right. Yeah, my son took his life, maybe 7 years ago, and Mother's Days were just horrible. All holidays really were horrible. But now I have come to find out by talking with him through channels and my own channeling that he's not gone. I mean, he just lost his body, and he's in a different dimension, but he's the same as he ever was, except he doesn't have any of the physical or mental ailments that used to plague him in life. So, you know, I continue to have a relationship with him, just like he was living and breathing right next to me. He may be right next to me. I don't know. Hi, Eric.
Right.
He's always been
You know, it's so interesting. You and I, Dr. Elisa, have spoken before, and it's so interesting for people to say that, well, I'm not really sure about it. I want to have it like it is on TV. You know what I mean? And they all think that it's going to be this grand thing. They're going to see someone walking in front of them. They're going to see something that will give them, quote, confirmation. They kind of diss all of the little things, like maybe smelling someone's perfume. I know with my grandfather, I smell tobacco. Or being able to sense someone, or a tap on the shoulder, or maybe you think of them. And we let all of this stuff go, and we say, oh, my gosh, why did I let all that go? Because those were really signs, yes?
Absolutely. For me, with Eric, a lot of times I will feel very intense goosebumps, like on my thigh. But here's the problem. Just because spirits, we can't see them, does not mean they don't exist. See, here's the deal.
Right.
Everything is energy. And every single type of energy, and I'm including emotions and thoughts, they're forms of energy. Matter is energy. Einstein used to call it frozen light. But all energy vibrates at a very unique frequency on this big electromagnetic spectrum. X-rays, microwaves, radio waves, everything. Spirits we occupy a very tiny sliver of that. Our whole world is in the visual spectrum. That's where we can see things. That's where we can touch matter, et cetera. Well, the problem is spirits vibrate at a higher frequency that's just outside of that visible spectrum, and they have to lower their vibration, to get into our frequency. And it's very difficult when we're grieving or when we have the dense vibrational frequency of expectations, because they really have to lower their energy to get to us. So so if you want to have connection with your deceased loved one, then it's important to try to raise your vibration, think of fond memories, watch your favorite stand-up comic, and try not to have expectations, because, again, that's a dense energy they have a hard time getting through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they will show up, as they will, what I say it is, meet you halfway, allow something to show up, and say, oh, okay, so maybe that's how I will know you in this moment, versus saying, it's sort of like when you go to the restaurant and you say, this is how I want my steak cooked. And how many times do we ever get our steak cooked like it's supposed to be, Right. So when we have that expectation, we are almost prejudging, pre-qualifying, and putting something out there and saying, this is how it should appear, when really that's not really what you're always going to get back. If we can just allow it to appear as it will, we have so much more, we have so many more experiences, and we just feel so much more gratitude and love, and it's able to be there, versus saying, I want to remember it with this moment. Yes?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. Absolutely.
Kim, don't we think also, too, that sometimes when we sometimes energetically don't even notice that we're kind of shutting things out? Like, for example, this is something simple, but it might relate, and maybe the listeners will be able to adjust their thoughts and say, now I understand what you're meaning. Yesterday, it was Mother's Day, but yesterday I was working at the florist to help them out, and I shut off my cell phone. And I said, my kids didn't bother. And I was kind of like on the tiff all day long. I figured when I turned it back on, they would all have called. They were going to call back and blah, blah, blah. Well, that didn't happen. It was just like, it just set off a really not good pattern, And I think that's also, too, when we think about spirit, is that, if we say that we would like to connect, but then we say, but I got to go take the kids, and I have to go pick up my husband, and, I'm really mad at them, and, this is not going to work, da-da-da-da. You've already set that parameter up when it's sort of like, well, gosh, if a loving, guiding spirit wants to come in to guide you, do you think they want to come into that mess? I don't think so. They're going to wait until you're quiet and you've cleared all of that minutia out, right?
Right, exactly. And, that's the essence of being present and allowing, that presence is clarity. And that clarity is basically what I show is kind of, especially with Eric, when you get present, you're as clear as you can be, to the best of your capacity, I guess. And then it's like creating this wide open playground and saying, like, okay, here it is, here's your platform. So you have to really be able to weed out and disassociate with and, disengage the thoughts, disengage the emotions, and especially the expected outcomes. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had sessions with individuals that they say, well, I'm open. I don't know why I'm not experiencing anything, because I'm really open. And they'll say, well, how come I don't hear them? And I say, well, then you're not open enough, because you're expecting to hear them. You have to let go of all expectations and leave it as open-ended as possible. And that's what creates, like, the perfect playground. I always call it, like, the perfect playground for them to come in and communicate. Right. And then just like you said earlier, it's huge for us to acknowledge the signs that they give us. We always just kind of throwing them off to the wayside, like, oh, maybe it was them, I'm just not really sure. And that's, Eric talks about that all the time, just to appreciate and validate what you're given. So I love that you brought that up.
I think that's always true. You know, today, I haven't been on Facebook for a while, and today I went on there. And a woman that I think I went to high school with her maybe 45 years ago, but hey, I don't know. But anyhow, she lives in the city that, you know, I used to live in. And I had asked and asked and asked for pictures of Lily of the Valley flowers and lilacs because they only grow in the certain area in which we live. And for years, and then no one would ever send them, oh, my gosh, you're too late, blah, you know, the whole drama story. Well, anyway, today I turned it on, and there were two pictures of Lily of the Valley and two pictures of lilacs. I was like, oh, my gosh, thank you, because those were such signs for me because Lily of the Valley, when it was really hard in my house and I used to be outside all the time in the 50s, you know, put out in the yard, there was a cemetery next door, and I used to go in there and lay down in the grass, you know, where the tombstones were. But in between the driveway of our house and the cemetery was Lily of the Valley. And I would always say that that was like my heart flower, you know, because Lily of the Valley grows up under the leaves in the spring. So in other words, no matter what, it always shows up. And then lilacs was always at my grandmother's house. And no one ever had a lilac bush that I've ever known in my whole life except for her. So it was just comforting, and I think that's a perfect example of saying when the time comes, you might receive the message. Because all of the times we say, well, I want to know, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to meditate, and I better be darned here today, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we can't command spirit. We can't command that they answer or respond or show up. But what we can do is say, you know, I would like to see this, and sit back and say, when it shows up, it will be in the right time. And I think that's so vitally important also, especially, you know, when someone's passed or someone is sick or something is happening and you really need some sort of comfort or message, is to sit back and say, I would like to see this and let it unfold, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, because, like, I think, don't you think, Tim, sometimes we push and we force and we say it's got to be, and then it I'm sure you probably have done times with Eric and Dr. Lisa and said, you know, hey, you know, it's not there today. You know, we just need to step back and maybe another time because maybe,
well, you know,
wasn't. Yeah, maybe she wasn't in the right frame of mind, or maybe, you know, she's not ready for this message. Yes?
Absolutely.
At first, right after he died, you know, I was so desperate. I was so grief-stricken more than anybody else in the family. Maybe it's a mother thing. I don't know. That I was the last person to receive, you know, a visit from Eric at all. Everybody else had. I mean, he would turn on the water faucet in front of his sister or, you know, just all sorts of crazy stuff. But it took me a long time before I got anything. It's like, what am I, chopped liver? And it's because I was so in this whole state of mind of expectation and that dense vibrational frequency of grief that he just could not connect. And so he did have to wait until the time was right and my mind was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Your thoughts, Kim?
I can definitely relate to. I've seen that play out so many times with Eric and how he. It's interesting the type of information he'll give individuals from one client to the next, and because he'll say, you know, he can show information, but then it's kind of like he'll. I know this sounds funny, but he'll kind of put like a what looks like a tourniquet on it. I think that's what you would call it, where you, like, cut off the supply of blood flow. But for him, it's, like, the supply of information. Because if you give people what they're not ready for, it could really cause, like, a, you know, cause a backfire type of situation where if they're not ready for that information, if they're not ready to receive it, either it's just going to go right past them and go unnoticed, or freak them out. I mean, there's been many times where people beg, and they manifest a situation that really causes them to introvert and withdraw from, you know, that their own connections. So Eric is very masterful at knowing where people come from with their intentions and their questions. And he, just like you said when you were opening the show, meeting them halfway, meeting them where. Mm-hmm. Where they sort of begin to fade out. That's where he picks it up and gives them what they need to continue on, to continue forward.
And a lot of times, too, we think that channeling or spirits or psychics or mediums are going to give us the answers that would be able to sort of like, I'm going to play the lottery tomorrow, and what are my numbers, you know?
Oh,
or
boy.
Am I going, you know, or am I going to get this job, and what do I have to do, when that job might not be the best for you, or the numbers are like, are not going to bring you the happiness that you're looking for. And I think, you know, Dr. Lise, you also being, you know, the doctor that you are, I'm sure you and I have both seen this bazillions of times, people will come in and say, I'm hurting, but it isn't their physical part that's hurting. We just can't identify it because they can't identify in themselves where they feel like lost or they don't feel cared for or loved or something
exactly.
else is going on.
Oh, exactly.
What are your thoughts on that with your clients? I mean, how do you, after these experiences, now approach people?
Are you talking to me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, I really don't open up about spirituality unless I have to, because, you know, mm-hmm. we're on the bleeding edge. Right now, we're you know, the people think the earth is flat. And we're the people coming around saying,
right.
no, I think the earth is round. And, you know, there's
right.
there's so much ridicule and scorn. In fact, Arthur Schopenhauer said that truth goes through three phases. First, it's ridiculed. Then it's scorned. And eventually, it's accepted as self-evident. So I don't try to push
uh-huh.
it on people. But inevitably, uh-huh. it does come up. They'll, for example, at a Christmas party with my husband, at my husband's workplace, somebody said, well, what do you do? Oh, I write books. Oh, what are the books about? Oh, God.
Right.
I don't really want to open up that can of worms. But,
yeah.
you know, inevitably, of course, I do, and they freak out. They say, oh, my God, that's so weird
yes.
you should say that, because the other day I saw two angels standing by my dumpster. A lot of people are in the closet about this and have had paranormal experiences that they can't explain, and they keep it to themselves for fear of ridicule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, of course, my patients, a lot of them have had near-death experiences, not because
yes.
of my fault. I'm sorry. It's not my fault.
Yes.
But patients' families have seen their loved ones when they cross over,
right.
et cetera. So, you know, that's when I'm okay about sharing.
Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, I've seen so many people, too, in whether it's channeling Eric clients or other individuals, that it's funny because it's that thing that's kept in the closet. It's kept secret. But if someone
mm-hmm.
else is willing to break the ice, you wouldn't believe how willing
right.
people are to say, oh, my gosh, wait, let me share my experience too. And so I think it's just a matter of all of us becoming comfortable enough with ourselves and our experiences to be able to share without those apprehensions. And when you see that common ground being built, like at these channeling Eric events, it's amazing because people develop these lifelong friendships where they do open up and they do share their experiences.
Okay.
And now they have friends or acquaintances that are like-minded. And so it's slowly evolving to where we don't have to be in the closet with our beliefs or our experiences. And my goal,
my hope
with Eric is to help people get past that.
Right. The most difficult situation is those who are hardcore religious, like including Christians, because the Bible says that, you know, you know, channeling, you're talking to the devil and things like that. So I get
mm-hmm.
a lot of backlash from that. And I have
mm-hmm.
a lot of people who have had paranormal experiences, but their family is very religious, or they were raised to be very religious, and it's very hard for them to reconcile their new beliefs with their old ones or with the beliefs of their Christian family.
Mm-hmm. You know, I live in New Orleans, and I'll tell you, when I came back here in 2004, I don't think I was here 2 months, and the attacks started. And it was pretty vigorous, only because I was a naturopathic doctor. And the medical community went after my naturopathic doctor issues. And then it was the idea. I mean, this was 2004. Then they went after the idea that it was, it was written up in the paper that I was a voodoo priestess and a shaman. And And you know, at that time, in 2004, I mean, and I really emphasize this to the listeners, in 2004, being a shaman and a voodoo priestess was still on the kind of, you know, black magic, alchemy, all this other stuff. But now that we're in 2017, even being a shaman now was revered. So I think it is time... when we look at things and we say, what's going on? I think time's ramping up so people are more accepting. But I will say that, you know, even people today ask me, what do I do? And I say, oh, I have a radio show. What do you do it on? Oh, I don't know, everything, you know. And I just leave it go. I don't even go there. It's like,
exactly.
You know, it's like, hey, you got an iPhone? Put it on iPhones and look at it. There's 400 shows. And it's kind of the best thing is for, I think, for people to sometimes scope it out on their own. You know, living in the Deep South, there's a whole lot of different types of religions, and people have different thoughts. And, you know, even we're taking down now these Confederate monuments, and probably Eric would be able to speak to this. A lot of these energies are coming up out of the ground, these past lives, these energies, these dense ones from the earth are rising. So there's so much stuff going on everywhere. I think if we look at the spectrum, and especially, Kim, you could probably speak on this, is that the spectrum of what is really evolving in the earth right now, we kind of had a resonance before of some sort of sense of stability, but now I think it's all chaos. I mean, if you look at a frequency band, it's complete. It's all age, all densities, everything, yes?
I would agree, and I think we're I mean, it. Just in my own experience, I think we're going through a... See, you know, sometimes I feel like we're going through this massive leap of expansion, and then that, you know, that creates this evolved frequency or this evolved sense of awareness. But then other times, what I feel like I'm seeing and observing are people who are so very mindless that...
Yes.
You look at them, and you know, I mean, it's just the time that we live in when we're all preoccupied with gadgets and gizmos, and you look at these people and how preoccupied they are and how unconscious they are, and then it makes you go, wow, I wonder what's actually happening with that frequency, that consciousness, when you have a human body that's not completely one with it. So, I mean, it becomes this chaotic thing, but... and then too, just like Elisa was talking about the emotions earlier being energy, if we don't learn to, one, take responsibility for our emotions, and two, become a master over them, we're going to stay in that zone of chaos. Because we experience these evolved, expanded awareness, but then we employ the emotions and react, and that's, you know, another birthplace of chaos. So I think we really have to start kind of owning up to our own actions and our energetic patterns that we create personally.
But also, you know,
Eric talks a lot about being emotionally honest with oneself and with others.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think that's very important if you're going to be mindful or conscious or have this expanded awareness. And I think that there's more hope now that science is sort of bridging the gap with spirituality. I think a lot of people, including me, you know, long ago, really needed some science to pat me on the back and say, hey, it's okay. There is the survival of consciousness after death. And again, so many things are coming out in the scientific communities that do support our beliefs.
Yeah. Eric says science is the buffer for it softens the edges for the people that want to believe, but they're not sure. It kind of softens and it bridges the gap. So, I mean, there's...
You know,
I have
pretty much been like this my entire life. So, you know, I've seen stuff, I've heard stuff, I've known stuff. So, you know, I've seen angels from a very young age, like 2 or 3. So to me, that's just my normal world. So it's no big deal to me. And I would always have intuitives or psychics who would do readings for me, and they'd always say, you're way ahead of your time. And it's sort of like, well, what the heck is the problem with time? Because I'm getting tired of it. You know, I'm tired of being ahead all the time because I feel like, you know, it causes such a chiasm in the an abyss in the timeline. You know, it's like, come on, people, what's your problem? Come on, let's keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you want to just keep dragging them, like, you know, you want to put the vacuum down and say, come on, you know, let's go.
It's frustrating. Yeah. It's so frustrating. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely can be. And there's been many times where, you know, you watch people suffer and you kind of think, you know, I only wish I could show you what I know or teach you how you don't have to suffer. But then again, I think personally for me, it's helped a lot because I would get that way. And I would feel like, first of all, I would feel isolated in that, like, come on, you know, catch up with me. But then I realized, I think too, for me personally, to just be able to coexist with those varying levels of consciousness or awareness,
right,
is the ultimate goal, to be able to be transparent in that and not affected by. So it's hard though, because sometimes you feel so isolated.
Well, see, I really think though also too, and I've spoken to you this before with you, Dr. Lisa, is that is to have emotions, to have those feelings, recognize them. And I always like to say, I've lived this world where I kind of like was like a little kid, always sticking my finger in the outlet or poking people, hey, what are you, who are you, how do you need to react? You know, I was sort of like I touched life all the time with a pointed finger. And I think that to be able to have those emotions is so vital. And sometimes you may say, well, I have anger. The idea is not to spew it on others. The idea is to have it, though. Because when you deny having it, it will just come out in all kinds of eekness other ways. So if you have it, you actually go through it and are present with it, and it can experience it, versus saying, oh, anger is bad, I'm not supposed to have it, you know, let me hurry up and yell it all out and I'm going to be good. And then that's still not a recognition in your thoughts that you got to walk around the circle and you got to play on the merry-go-round and you got to unplug it and you have to take the top off and maybe you have to poke some holes in the top to see if the rain comes through to stop the merry-go-round. You go through all of this. And I think same thing when someone passes away, you know, is you got to go through being mad. You have to go through being happy. You have to see their stuff. You have to know that their car's still parked in the driveway. You have to have 2 years later someone call up and say, oh, it's alumni time. You know, all of these different things are just going to be there, but you can't say, you know, I'm going to deny them because, oh, I washed all that out of me already. It doesn't really work that way.
Well, that's really very wise of you. Eric says that we are emotional beings. We are made of that energy, emotions. That's what we are. And we are supposed to feel first and then think second. And we don't do that. A lot of times, instead of doing that, we produce a thought and we let that generate an emotion. And through that emotion, we react with a certain choice or reaction. Instead, we're supposed to allow ourselves to feel, get to know what emotion we're feeling, and then let that produce the thought, and let that thought create some sort of choice or reaction.
Go ahead, Kim.
I was just going to say, I think that too, you know, depending on the situation that we're in, I've seen a lot of people go through certain things where they're maybe a little too cautious to explore their anger. And, you know, they don't want to explore their anger, but they feel sort of stuck or trapped in a situation. And sometimes I'll coach people to listen to your anger, because at least in that you don't feel powerless. It's a step forward. And then maybe you move through anger and now you're just frustrated, which is a little less dense. And then maybe you move through frustration and you're just a little confused. You know, so you process through, and in that you don't feel hopeless, like you've lost your own personal power. So I think it is important to listen to what you're feeling and how that's related to your thoughts, like Elisa was saying.
Well, at this time, Dr. Lisa, how about we, if you could share about the book, how Kim came about into your life, and then if did you all want to perhaps speak with Eric today through Kim?
Oh, that would be great. That's
show?
What people want to hear.
Sure. Great. Well, then let's proceed like that.
Well, after Eric died, of course, being raised by two atheists and being a scientist slash physician myself, it was really difficult for me to answer the question, is Eric still around? And if so, you know, where is he? So I did do a lot of exploring, read all sorts of things about quantum physics, near-death experiences, you name it. And eventually I started, when I ran into stuff to read, at least things that I could understand, I started communicating to Eric through mediums, and the rest is history. The first book I wrote is called My Son and the Afterlife, Conversations from the Other Side. And that in that book, he does talk a lot about heaven and death, et cetera, but it's mostly my journey from skepticism to belief, which took, oh, gosh, around 4.5 years before I truly knew that he existed. And then this most recent book is actually Eric's creation. It's called My Life After Death, A Memoir from Heaven. And in that, he documents in such detail everything from moments before his death until the current, which is, you know, how life is as a spirit. He describes the afterlife in great detail, and there's just so much. By the time you finish the book, there's almost no mystery to what happens after you die.
Wonderful. Okay, would you like to, Kim, perhaps channel Eric, and we will be able to, and then, you know, Dr. Elise, you could take it from there, what you'd like to ask.
Go for it.
Sure, definitely.
Hi, Eric.
He's, you know, it's whenever I channel Eric, the way that Elisa talks to him or the questions that she has, sometimes she's right in sync with what he's about to talk about with her questions. It's so funny to, you know, it's so fascinating and such a pleasure to be a part of, to watch how they interact, because anytime a client or the physical being validates the energy of the spirit, it grounds their energy. They become stronger. So it's really fantastic to watch that connection that Eric has with his mom, because when she talks to him, she grounds his energy, and he becomes, I mean, it's just like he comes to life in such a tangible way. It's just a beautiful thing. But anyway, he's always so interactive and such a joy to work with. So indeed, he's here. He's just waving with both hands like a little kid would. He's like, hey, Mom.
Hi, baby. Oh. I love you.
He says, take it away, Mom. I love you.
So, how's it going, Eric?
He says, Mom, he's like, okay. Making it a point to show what he's wearing, as always. He's just barefoot in his jeans, plain T-shirt. He's rubbing his hands together, so that's his way of showing, like, he's amped up. He says, are we allowed to cuss on this show? Because I will certainly filter it if I need to.
no worries.
Eric seems to cuss sometimes, so I don't know if you're aware of that, but he says, you wouldn't believe the shit that I have going on over here.
Is it allowed to say cuss words?
I don't know. Sure, yeah.
On Blog Talk Radio, I think it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
sometimes I never know, but he's just kind of like really amped up. He's like, you wouldn't believe the shit that I got going on over here. And he's giving such an excited energy. And what he's talking about is, I mean, because it's just an open playing field. I said, talk about whatever you want. And he's showing how when you develop a connection with someone, the immortality of that connection and kind of how it, he's showing it like almost like a biofeedback, like how it feeds back to him. He's kind of rambling. He goes, because people wonder all the time, did Eric see that? Is Eric here? Was he a part of that? He was like, trust me. He says, trust me, my friends. If you ask for my help, if you're a part of me, meaning like the blogs, the books, and that sort of thing, if you've known me, if you've developed that connection, then he says that that sinks our energy in a way that he can connect to anything that you've experienced. And he is such a stickler about this. He's using air quotes with his fingers when he says experienced, because there's an ED on the end, like it's past tense. But he's like, really, there's no concept of time. So he gets frustrated trying to explain that to people, I guess. But what he's showing is like if you were to take two, this is what he's showing. Take one piece of tissue paper and gently, like, just overlap it with another piece. Just, like, take the edges and just make sure they're overlapping. That's, and then keep them that way. That's kind of like how he's showing his energy emerging with his friends, his family, the blog members, and so on. Because once that connection's made, you're now affected, always affected by that energy. So what he's trying to show is, I might not be, like, completely present with you in the experience of something, but because time isn't real, like, that experience, that happening, so to speak, is always there. So, you know, when you say, is Eric going to go with me for this? You know, it's, mm-hmm. He says, ask it the other way around. When am I not with you? That's more of the question, because it's much easier to always be with than without in the form that I'm in, he says. And he's talking about energetically being with someone. So it's much easier to be with than without, because he's showing himself, his energy being, like, expanded and connected. And this is hard to put into words. It's not like it's out of his control to be connected to these people. It's not like he can't control it. But I think it's just a more divine bond. He's like, Mom, you know what I'm talking about.
It's, oh, yeah.
It's an expanded connection that... He goes, you don't need my proof to know that I'm with you. You need your own self-assurance to know that I'm with you. And
yeah, because Eric can split off in infinitely into infinite number of Erics, as if the world can handle more than one of you, Eric.
And that's what he's showing. He's showing, like, in the center I see an energy field, and then just it just kind of expands out. Like, there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no divided parts that sort of segment off. It's just an awareness that he can shift. He can shift his focus. So think about it like this. He says, when we merge, when our energies connect, what affects you affects me, because it's, again, he's showing it like a feedback, a mutual feedback system energetically. So, but you're ultimately more affected than I am. He's showing things like passing right through him. Like, if we go through these terrible, dense emotions, he could be aware of it without feeling it. You see, there's a huge difference, he says, being aware of something and then deciding to feel it. He goes, yeah, that's a real game changer. So, you guys try it. You guys try being aware of something and then decide whether or not you're going to allow yourself to be affected by how it makes you feel. He's like, it's a game changer. He's like bouncing his eyebrows.
Well, I want to ask something about Dr. Jeanette. She was feeling like a lot of chaos today, Eric. What's that all about? Or was it yesterday, Jeanette, or today?
Yesterday was heavy, dense. Today was Lord knows what. I don't know.
So what's going on there?
Yesterday felt really heavy for me, too. Today was much different. Things were trying to be difficult, but I persevered. As an Army wife, you figure out how to make shit happen, I guess.
Yeah.
He's showing, because you always have to remember, instead of looking outwardly, look inward and see what's happening. Look inward and see where the chaos is. So he's just showing it being like your external environment sort of like acting like a mirror, just reflecting to you what's happening inside. But because you live in a linear place, because you live in a place where you experience things in a linear way, he says, the chaos that you felt today may have surfaced today, and he's using air quotes with today, because today really isn't real, but
that's
you
right.
Get what I'm saying, he says. But that chaos that surfaced today may have been from something, you know, that was stifled last week, or something that you overlooked last week, didn't deal with last week. eventually it's going to surface. Eventually you'll feel that transition. When you're more still with yourself, I know it sounds counterintuitive or contradicting, but he says when you're more still with yourself, that's when you can become more aware of what's going on at the level of self. And what you feel inside, you project outwardly, if you're not careful, he says. So collectively, he goes, you could say that, because he was saying, he goes, collectively, a lot of people experience that today just as a collective shift. And I said, well, okay,
right.
It's the concept of today again. And he's like, it's okay, you can say it. He's so funny about, like, the concept of time, because he wants you to remember you're a timeless being. You are a timeless being. So just remember that everything you go through is not permanent. Nothing you go through is permanent, he says.
And it's all happening right now, past, present, and future.
He said, it is, Mom. There's no other way. He, like, opens his arms up wide. So The more present you are with yourself and mindful, then the less chaotic things are going to feel. He says, go back and do what my mom said. Feel first and then think. Let that generate a thought. Feel first. Let that generate a thought and then an emotion instead of, like, getting it all... all mixed up. I'll say that. He used a different word, but...
I know what he said.
Yeah, and he's doing this funny thing with his hands where he's, like, making his hands get all tangled up. So, and it's kind of like, he's telling me to share this example. So earlier, you know, I'm an Army wife and husband's deployed, so it's, you know, figuring out how to do stuff by yourself sometimes can be a challenge. I came home today and there's no water. And I'm thinking, what on earth? There's, like, no water in my house at all. I'm like, okay, it's fine. I kind of laugh it off. And I'm like, whatever, we'll figure it out or not. But it is what it is. So I went outside and I was like, yeah, I'm going to weed eat. Because when I run the weed eater, I release a lot of stress. Well, guess what? I could not get the weed eater started to save my life. So I walked away from that. And I was like, fine. It's just fine. I'm just going to be mindful. I'm not going to react and get totally pissed. So I just moved on to the next thing that was on my list. And then it all came back around. So instead of reacting, you know, I was just mindful in each situation. And instead of reacting, I just was present with it, just kind of like we were talking about earlier, being present with something in order to not be so down about it or affected by it.
But also, too, Kim, I mean, you know, when we talk about the collective, I mean, I'm in tune or in touch or whatever you want to call it for a label. You know, when you can sense the energies around you, you can also sense them of the earth or the universe or whatever. So there's times when I'll go, oh, it feels heavy today. And then, like I just said, yesterday felt heavy, today felt it was chaos all around, and what I did is I didn't go around and be chaotic. I just stayed in peace and just stayed quiet and just laid down most of the day.
Exactly.
So I think sometimes there's a lot of people now who are raising their frequencies so high and getting into this process is that when they get there, they're feeling a lot of it up there, but they're also sensing a lot of it the lower frequency. So in other words, you're feeling that that almost pressure gradient, if you want to call it. In other words, you can
so
consistently feel
again.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can feel that bounce back and forth quite consistently, I think.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Eric talks to a lot of people about raising your vibration isn't the hard part. Everybody can do that. Everybody knows how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But maintaining it is the key. And you see so many people on that yo-yo of raising it and then, you know, being affected by something and then it drops. And then going back up, so it becomes like this roller coaster, and ultimately that obviously affects the collective, he says. So the key, and Eric's been teaching a lot of people about this too, to be aware of the collective, but to really, truly, like, the ultimate goal at the level of self is to be in the world, but not of the world, not to be of it, a product of it. So you can be aware and as expanded as you need to be of that collective, but not letting yourself be affected, you know, remaining transparent. That's the key. That's the goal. He he says, and there's tips, tricks, and strategies, he says,
right,
to get into that level of transparency. But it takes maintenance. It's just like a car, he says. It's just like you can't run your car to death and expect it to just be at a, you know, optimal point the whole time.
But Eric, can you explain before you go on? What? Give me a specific example, if you can, of this world as opposed to in this world. Because I don't know if that everybody would understand that.
He says, sure, Mom. It's like seeing something shitty on the news, and then you decide that it pisses you off, and then you decide to make a post about it on social media. Now you're becoming king of the world. You let yourself be affected by it, and now you're spreading that poison to other people. So when you
it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
You know, with the statues coming down, it's sort of like I can go downtown and I can protest, or I can go downtown and, you know, I can complain about it, or I can put all these things on, you know, comments on social media, or I can just choose to delete that person from my friend list.
He says when you choose like that, when you realize you have the choice to not be a victim of this world, now you're acting in a place of actual consciousness. But so many people, he goes, you know what I'm about to say, Mom. They have that yeah, but syndrome, that big old but, where they go, well, yeah, but I still feel like I need to voice my opinion. And that's fine. But he says, you're doing it in reaction to. You are bringing in and identifying with an energy, reacting to it. Now you've plugged into it, now you're of the world. See, so there's so being in the world and not of the world is the ultimate goal for everybody. So you can have that expanded awareness and choose. If you know that, if all you ever know, he says, is that you have the choice to be affected by or not, or to react or not, or whatever, if you know you have that choice, then he says you're golden. You start there. That's your starting point. But if you feel like you're always reacting, or you don't have a choice, or you're just stuck, because then you have some growing to do because you're not actually conscious in that thought process.
Yeah, you're a victim instead of feeling self-empowered. And nobody ever robs us of our power. We always have our power. We try to give it away sometimes, or we don't recognize it, but it's always there. We just have to tap into it.
Right.
You know, but also, Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead. You're okay. Go ahead.
So also, but also too, sometimes when people, we always like to use the word victim, but also too, I think it's some people who have not quite shifted their conceptual consciousness yet, because what they're doing is they're saying that when I complain about it because I feel it's important, it's because they feel that it's a part of their identity. In other words, they're still stuck on that idea of, you know, when you die, you have an obituary and it's got to be 10 pages long, or you've got to have all these letters next to your name or whatever. In other words, it's part of their identity, and they feel that if they lose that, then they're losing their identity, who they are, when in actuality that really isn't the case.
Well,
right.
That's all ego-based. That's all
ego.
All ego.
That's the death of the ego, and most times if you're not conscious, you feel the death of the ego, so you fight it, but sometimes people aren't quite aware of that process, he says. So it's like when you have created that identity with, you know, whatever it is, politics or something, then again, you've become a product of the world, and you're really, basically what you're doing, he says, is creating, like, tunnel vision for yourself. You're not even seeing the full scope of what you are. When you have an identity that only knows itself in accordance to this mortal, temporary, earthly realm, you haven't even begun to scratch the surface or explore who you really are, he says. So you're keeping yourself in a box.
Yes, I remember when I was considering retiring as a doctor, I told I took off some time to homeschool my kids because Eric had some learning issues, so I really wanted to help him. And I told one of my friends, a neurosurgeon, and she was aghast. She just, I could never do that. That's my identity. I'm a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought of my main identity as a doctor. Mine was just, you know, I'm a human being, especially a mother, you know, and all sorts of different identities that
that I seem to connect to.
You know, I had the same thing, too, because when I finished, you know, naturopathic school there, and I took off all this last several years, and they're like, are you seriously kidding me? Really? So you copped out. And I said, no, I actually copped back in, you know, because it wasn't, I didn't buy the they would say to me, oh, I think I had two or three times in my life where people would, deans would say to me, you don't fit the profession, you need to leave the school. And that's been an overriding thing in my entire life, and I think that was kind of crazy. And people would say that, and I would go, oh, really? And, you know, and I kind of, like, just let it go. And then this past few years was reflecting on that, and I said, you know, you're absolutely right. I did not reflect the school because I don't believe in what you're teaching here as the paradigm of how I should, quote, you know, stay within your rules. And I'm sure you've seen that with Dr. Elise. You know, this is what, you know, we see it now with the medicine, you know, how you've got to have a certain template. You've got to do your CPT codes, and God help you if you ever put one in that doesn't work,
oh,
you know.
My gosh,
so we see this all the time, I think. And, you know, and what I actually did was I actually checked out of all of that and says, no, that's not at all what it is. And it really, there's still people, even till yesterday, my mother's like, well, why aren't you doing what you're supposed to be doing? It's like, what do you mean, what am I supposed to be doing, you know?
Oh, gosh.
So,
oh, gosh.
We see this all the time, I think, yes?
Oh, absolutely. And that's another a huge thing that Eric always says, what does that mean, what you're supposed to be doing? What does that even mean? Because if you were, quote, he says, supposed to be doing it, you would be, of course.
Right.
It's very, he says, it's very straightforward. It's very literal in the sense that, you know, what isn't meant to be won't be. There's no way for it. There's no path for it. There's no code energetically. So there's no such thing as good or bad, right or wrong, wasted time, like, you know, on the right path or wrong path or not doing what I'm supposed to. And you know, when Eric talks to people about that, people ask that all the time, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And he'll give them guidance and direction, but more importantly, he'll recenter their awareness to be empowered in that you are where you're supposed to be and focus more on being you, and that will teach you and lead you to what you're going to do. Because we get so caught up in the doing part that we forget to be. So, you know, I just find it funny when people say, you know, what are you supposed to be doing? It's, you know, it's to me, it's very like, well, if I'm supposed to be doing it, it would be happening.
Exactly.
Of course, that's relative to the situation, though.
Eric, is this part of Jeanette's, Dr. Jeanette's spiritual contract, the fact that she has to butt heads with these people who say, you're supposed to be doing this?
He says it's more, he says, think about it like this, it's more part of her contract to see, like, I guess conceptually what that means to her. So it's not necessarily a part of her contract to butt heads, but I think it's part of her contract to contemplate, like for them to raise that point of awareness or to offer, like, that polarity to sort of trigger your contemplative state. But then I think ultimately what you do is, he says, so if you want to say part of your contract is to, you know, pull ahead and develop independence and power, personal power in independence. So those suggestions from other people just trigger that awareness, I guess, or that, you know, contemplative state that brings upon that awareness, he says.
I almost find it funny when they say it, and it almost it comes upon as their reflection of trying to keep people, quote, you know this word, Elise, herd, the herd effect, H-E-R-D.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And it's almost the concept of that when they say that, and because it's just, I kind of, you know, in other words, it never took me out. It was just kind of like, gosh, it just sounds really weird. But when I think about it or talk about it, people say, they get all, you know, disheveled about it. I says, what's the big deal? It's just something that I heard, and I'm just relaying the story so that it's reflective and say, hey, you know, yeah. And it was like, okay, so keep going. What's the point, you know? And I think when I do the radio, it's like I take all of my stuff from everything I've done, and I share my stories, and I share, you know, just like you do, Elisa and Kim, and we share our stories from our everyday lives, and we share how all of this fits together. And I think that's what's so vitally important. You know, for me to say, hey, yeah, well, they told me that, and everybody would go, oh, my gosh, that must have been horrible. No, I, like, so what? You know, or people would say to me, I can remember like 2 years of having severe migraine headaches and barely even be able to get out of bed for like 2 years. And they said, oh, my gosh, you must have suffered so bad. And I said, I don't know what that definition of the word suffering means. It was just a process I had to go through, and I got to the other side. So what, you know? So I think we, while we might use these words to share our stories, we might use these words to share our processes and things that are going on, and we may have at the time given it a little bit of energy, I don't think we have to, and I'm sure Eric would agree, is we don't have to sink or swim and wear it as a banner on our T-shirt every day. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, it's great, you know, that they wrote me up in the thing that I was a voodoo priestess. Hey, cool, you know, maybe I need to get a flowery skirt, put on some bangle earrings, and maybe I'll go downtown. But, you know, and, like, make light of it and move on from it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of letting it sink you so far that you just can't seem that you can't get out of it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that's such a great example because it shows the ability to know oneself outside of the ego because, you know, I think when we are living in an egocentric manner, we have to go back and go, but no, this is who I am. And we have to really prove that. That's the ego. But when you know you're not, and you don't have to be affected by it, and you can make even make light of a situation, then you've already parted ways with the ego, and that's why you have power over that, you know, personally and emotionally to not be, not go to that level of thinking with it, you know. So, and that's huge because so many people lose power so easily. They sort of forfeit their power in situations like that or render themselves helpless, you know. They just... It's the trick of the ego.
That's true.
It's a tough place to be. Sometimes I think when we get so stuck in, you know, in closing, you know, we could talk about for a minute about when we came here. And I'm older. I'll be 61 this year. You all are younger than I am. But
No, I'm not. I'm 62. I got you
well
beat, girl.
Oh, well, close. But don't you think also, too, you know, if we think back on those earlier years, it was this is where you go, this is how you do, and this is where you end up. And I can honestly, and I think, don't you think, Dr. Lisa, that in the past 15 years, all of that has gotten kicked to the can. We could almost put a label of the 1900s and say, kick it, guys, because you know what? We are nothing like that now, yes?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. The phases I've gone through from childhood on. And, you know, I look back and see the value in each of those experiences, those phases. But I am so not like I was in the past.
Right. Yeah, in the short past. I mean, like 15 years.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, that's really short. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's the purpose. We're supposed to grow and change and try to become the best version of ourselves.
Absolutely.
But, you know, if we look at the elders, they pretty much haven't because they haven't gotten to that. They haven't had the opportunity of that experience. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
And I can honestly say, because I work a lot with, you know, end-of-life and elders, and I'm calling elders anyone over 50 because it depends where we are in our life and it depends on what we are also wishing to experience in our life. So you could be of a very elder mind at the age of 50, you know, versus the age of 90. But anyway, what I think, though, too, is that they are unaware and not even open to that spot. And I don't think that at all for any of us, any listeners, it is not required to have this experience of consciousness in this lifetime. If you come across it and it works for you, fantastic. If you're in your space and this is the world as wish you know it, and that's the wish that you'll stay in that space and you're enjoying it and that's where your life is, so be it. I think
yes.
many times we get hung up that everybody has to get to a point where, hey,
right.
you know, the spaceship's going to take off. The answer is absolutely not. You know?
Right.
Yeah,
all of us
are where we're supposed to be. All of us are where we're supposed to be, and life is an experience,
right.
and all experiences are valuable.
You know,
that's
and
right.
I'm sure, don't you think, Kim, that maybe Eric might speak on this to close the show, is that, you know, you might get it, and you might still be a holy heck dragger, and you might be a total victim mode this whole life, and hey, so be it. If that is it, so be it. Leave
exactly,
it be.
Exactly. And the best part is what Eric teaches people all the time is no matter where you are on that scale of consciousness,
right.
as long as you can have compassion with yourself in it and you,
right.
you know, just like you said, you're in your space and you're enjoying it, you know, so be done with the rat race. So be it. Just like you were saying, be done with the race of
mm-hmm.
how do I do this? How do I develop that? How do I expand? How do I get to more? Because then ultimately, again, we displace ourselves and we're not enjoying who we are anymore. And then again,
right.
you know, that triggers a whole cycle where we fall into, know, a depression because we think, what could I be doing more to develop myself? And we become displeased with who we are. So stay
mm-hmm.
present with who you are no matter what you're doing and experiencing. And hopefully that will lead to just a higher sense of self-awareness and contentment.
Right. You know, that's a tough one for a lot of people, especially even the spiritual people these days. And we'll say this in closing, is that a lot of people feel they're on the spiritual path and then they say, but I'm having a down day. And we know what they do is they don't let others know that they are having a down day. They don't let others know they're having a different experience. And they, quote,
right.
go into hiding. You know, and they hide
yeah.
themselves. And, you know, I find this all the time. You'll see someone, you know, supposedly a spiritual guru or whoever, whatever they are, their label that they put on themselves, and you won't see them on Facebook for 5 or 6 days, or you won't see them here or there, or they'll say that
they're still human. They're still
right,
human.
Right.
They just don't.
Yes.
They can't forget that.
But they
right.
do forget it. And I think that's a lot of times what we do is that we do forget that, you know. And yeah, speaking about it is so important. So, like, this show and your show is definitely about speaking about, you know, everything is going to be okay. It's just the idea of don't spew on others, don't hurt others, and continue, keep going. I think that's really the bottom line, yes?
That is,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Keep going.
Well, yep, Dr. Elise and Eric and Kim, please, thank you so much for joining us. Can you share how to find out more information about everyone and your show, your book, and your events? That would be great.
Well, I'll just say that the name of the blog is channelingeric.com, and Eric is spelled with a K. We've got a radio show every Thursday evening at 7 o'clock Central Time that I announced on the blog Wednesday and Thursday. And it's called The Hour of Enlightenment. And also, Kim and I have a YouTube channel where we channel, and other mediums do too, channel all sorts of interesting topics. It's called the Channeling Eric YouTube channel. And the books, My Son and the Afterlife, and Eric's book is My Life After Death. Kim, take it away.
That's
Tell
right.
us about you.
Right. And you guys can find information on me on my website at kimbabcock.net. And same thing, I've got a YouTube channel where I've been trying to channel my guides, channel Eric and others, to offer guidance and information, practical tips to help you improve your life in ways that you might feel connected to. So check out that information, check out the blog, and I know you guys will feel empowered as you do. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, it's such
Thank
a pleasure
you.
To have you both with us. You know,
Thank
I think
you for
so
having
many times
us.
I think sometimes we get stuck, you know, and I always do on this show is how many different times can we say, you know, the word pumpkin? We're going to say it as many different times until everyone finds their own version. So, you know, I really think that's what the
I
whole
love
purpose
that.
Of radio
that's
is, you know. I think it's just about sharing and being honest. I mean, yesterday I had a crappy day. Today it was kind of weird. We'll see what tomorrow brings, you know. So all good and be able to say that. And I think that's important, yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much both for joining us. It was such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for being
so
such a great host.
You're welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Dr. Elisa Madhus and also Kim Babcock and Eric, the link is on the bottom of today's show page. Please click on it and go directly to their website. And again, anything that we talk about on the radio show, it's always about saying, you know what, sounds interesting, I'll check it out and find out something more. Maybe something will resonate with me. Or maybe, you know, hey, how many times do you have to say pumpkin until you figure out a different way that it could present to you? It's no big deal. Just join us each day, and it is a great day. Everything is going to be okay. You need help? Please ask for it. Links are on the bottom of today's show page. And until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page. Or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.